As we stand, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible. Thank you that you are a speaking God. And we thank you, therefore, that what we have here is another opportunity to hear what you want us to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming to this earth. Please inspire us, convict us, train us in righteousness. For Jesus' sake, amen. Please do sit down. Are you... Oh, thank you, choir. Sorry about that. Do you have a seat? Brilliant. Let the choir come out. I always forget to do that. Sorry, choir. Brilliant. Brilliant. Are you a fight or a flight sort of person? You're backed into a corner. You're trapped in a jungle. How you got there is anyone's guess. But there you are, you're in the jungle, and you hear it. The howling, or the roaring. Do you think, I'm out of there, straight away? Or are you the kind of person that would stand your ground? What about if you find yourself in a position where you could be deeply embarrassed? Are you the kind of person to fight your way out of the stares and the muttering? Or stand your ground, whatever? Or do you think about the quickest exit? I guess it is possible to change. Once upon a time, if you had put me in a room with a spider, I would have been straight out of there. But I had to change my approach. I had to. My children can't get rid of them, and it was just getting embarrassing to keep asking Lisa. So now, I stay, and I fight. Not literally. I get a glass out and trap it under the glass. In our Bible reading this morning was Joseph. What was he? Fight or flight? Well, Joseph, our silent witness, is a great example of someone who changed their approach. I say silent witness because Joseph never utters a word. In the whole of Scripture, never a word is uttered by Joseph. Have you ever noticed that? Nothing is recorded of what he said. And yet his testimony of the events surrounding Jesus' birth is a key part to our understanding Jesus' incarnation, Jesus' coming to this earth as a baby. And so as we begin looking at this passage this morning, I want you to put yourselves in Joseph's shoes. Here's what I want us to do first of all this morning. And you're welcome to take notes. You'll see space on the back of your notice sheet. Here is what I want us to do first thing this morning. I want us to see the scandal. When you picture the events surrounding the birth of Jesus, what is in your mind's eye? Maybe nativity plays come to mind. I'm looking forward to seeing nativity plays over this Christmas from the school and other, other places. And I'm sure they'll be amazing. But they can't be accurate. Not least because it wouldn't be fun to watch. It wasn't warm, and it wasn't cozy. It is not the stuff of school productions, because it was full of scandal. Have a look in your Bibles with me. Turn to chapter 1 of Matthew's Gospel. Let me read from verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. What do we see from Joseph's perspective? Well, two things. Mary is pregnant, and Joseph doesn't want anything to do with her anymore. So he was going to break off their engagement. They'd promised themselves to one another. The first century engagement is as good as pledging marriage to one another. But Mary is pregnant, and it's not Joseph's child. Do you see the scandal? All Joseph knows, he's not the father. He hasn't touched her, and people will talk. And Mary will be disgraced, and Joseph has a decision to make. Fight or flight? Do you see the scandal? Even in our anything-goes society, the scandal is clear, isn't it? So imagine what it would have been like then, when upholding God's law would have been central to the lives of everyone around them. Fight or flight, Joseph. This really isn't the stuff of nativity plays. People would have seen Mary and would have been talking behind her back. Her family would have been disgraced. Do you feel the scandal? This would not have been something you would want recorded about your family. In writing about the Saviour of the world coming into the world, it would have been so much more convenient to miss this out completely, but it's recorded because, despite how awful Joseph would have felt about it all, something changed his mind. Changed his mind so convincingly that he abandons his plans to divorce Mary, he sticks with her through her pregnancy, and he takes Jesus into his household and he gives him all the rights and privileges of a son. What changed his mind? Well, let's briefly look at three things from what the angel said to him. Incidentally, what is an angel? Well, an angel is a messenger. That's what the word means. It's a Greek word, angelos, which means messenger. And God, of course, can speak to people in all sorts of ways. Today's primary way of speaking to us is God's primary way is through his word, the Bible. That's why we must take the Bible seriously. But when Jesus came to earth, such was the importance of all that was going to take place, God sent his messengers, his angels. And again, this isn't the stuff of nativity plays. When the angel comes, I'm really sorry if I'm in any way ruining nativity plays for you, by the way. But here's the thing. When you see the angel in nativity plays, it's lovely to see. But read the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' arrival on earth, and when an angel appeared, it was often accompanied by four words. What were those four words? Oh, there it is. Do not be afraid. They were scary. They were God's messengers, sent by God. And here we are then, considering what three things changed Joseph's mind. What three things, when pieced together from God's message, could change Joseph's mind about taking Jesus in? Here's the first. Who Joseph is. Let's have a look down and look at verse 20 with me. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. Let's stop there. Who is Joseph? Have you ever considered who Joseph is? Joseph is in David's line, the great King David of the Old Testament. What does that make Joseph? He's royalty. Ever thought of that? Joseph is in the line of the greatest king ever recorded in all of Scripture, apart from Jesus. But it's not the fact that Joseph is royalty that should convince him. It was the fact that God had promised that it was from David's line that his chosen king, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come. It's there in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Let me read this to us. The days are coming, declares the Lord, it's on the screen behind me, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. Now, this was a prophecy given many hundreds of years before Jesus, given by God to comfort his people. Though God's people had again and again turned their back on God and lived their lives as if they knew best, as if God wasn't their king. So even though they faced the consequences for their treatment of God, being given what they asked for, being cut off from him. It was God who delivered a message of great hope. It would be from David's line, from David's family, that a king would be born. A person who would be a branch from the family line of David, who would be called Yahweh. Whenever you see in the Bible, the Lord, all in capital letters, like you can see at the bottom line there, that is the translation of Yahweh, which is the name of the Lord given to Moses in Sinai. And that's the first piece of our jigsaw puzzle for Joseph that would help change his mind. It's not all of it, but it's the first piece. It was from David's line that the promised Savior would come, and Joseph is of David's line. Okay, that's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Who Joseph is, what Mary is. Have a look again at verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So what is Mary? She is a virgin. That word, Hebrew, comes from a Hebrew word, which means an unmarried, untouched woman expecting a baby boy. No one has touched her. Joseph knows he hasn't touched her, and he's ready to divorce her. Such is the shame of it all. But God reveals to him that actually no one has touched her. End of verse 20. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, we already know something of Joseph at this point. We know from verse 19, if you have a look, we know from verse 19 that he was faithful to the law. In other words, he was a good Jew. That's all it means. He knew his scriptures. He wanted to honor his God. And so, because of these words from the angels, it wouldn't have gone unnoticed to him. The prophet Isaiah, a prophet is somebody who shares God's message to God's people, also pointed out that about 700 years before Jesus even arrived on this earth, Jesus would be born through a virgin. So Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 22, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. That's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. So there'd be a lady, a young lady, unmarried, untouched, a virgin who would have a baby. Not just a baby boy. And this boy would be known as Emmanuel, God with us. So in the mess of life and rebellion against God, there would be a promise of a rescue, a reconciliation between God and his people. That's the second piece of the jigsaw puzzle. It's not all of it, but what have we got so far? We've got who Joseph is. He's of David's line, and God promised through David's line there would be a savior king. Who Mary is, or what Mary is, she's a virgin, and God had promised 700 years before that the savior of the world would be born of a virgin. So he's got two signs so far. What's the third thing? What Jesus would do. What Jesus would do. I just read it, but I'll read it again. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What would Jesus do? He would save his people from their sins. Because this baby didn't stay a baby. He grew up into Jesus, the man who would experience the greatest rejection this world has ever seen. In fact, it was in fact the prophet Isaiah who spoke the words that would come to pass of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, some of the most famous verses in all of the Bible. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet was considered him punished. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What would Jesus do? He would be the one, born of a virgin, of the house of David, who would be the Lord, our righteous Saviour. God himself would come down to the poverty of this humanity to save people from the sin that would lead us to an eternity away from the love of God. And that's the third piece of the jigsaw puzzle. And it changed Joseph's mind. He saw the big picture. That there was on offer a baby boy who would be the great rescuer, born of a virgin, and by taking him into his home, by taking Jesus into his home, and effectively adopting Jesus as his own son, he would bestow upon Jesus all the rights and privileges of sonship, so that Jesus is then of David's line. See how it works? And so the prophecy was fulfilled. From David's line, a saviour was born. This Christmas, are you a fight or a flight sort of a person? When you hear that Jesus isn't just for some people, or he's not just a Christmas card baby, nor is he just for some people from certain parts of the world or anything like that, what do you do with that? Are you a flight sort of a person? Does it seem too much like an intrusion into your life to take this Jesus seriously? Or does it seem like much too much of an intrusion to share this good news of Jesus with other people? Or do you, so to speak, fight? Do you hang around? Do you look at the evidence? Do you share that evidence with others who need to hear it? That's what Joseph did, isn't it? He listened, he considered the message, and he saw God's plan for what it was. Very good news. And so he welcomed Jesus. And that option is there for us as well this Christmas time. To welcome Jesus into our lives and allow him to be our Saviour. Not a word is uttered by Joseph, our silent witness. And it may be that today you're silent, you'll have tea and coffee and not talk about Jesus as Saviour. You'll go home and you'll crack on with your life and not talk about Jesus as Saviour. But that doesn't have to be it. Doesn't have to be it. Joseph's actions were powerful as he welcomed Jesus into his family. And we too, if we haven't already, can welcome Jesus into our family, into our lives, to be our Saviour. Fight or flight. May I say the easiest thing to do is flight? It really is. To ignore the evidence and to go on living without acknowledging God as our rescuer through Jesus. But there's a better way. And that way is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the account of Jesus coming to this earth. So often we never consider Joseph and what he did, taking Jesus into his household, giving him all the rights and privileges of a son, turning his back on the shame that could have been his, and welcoming Jesus into his life. Thank you that he is a great example to us of listening to your rescue plan and seeing it for what it is. Please help us this Christmas to be to not be a flight sort of a person and to sort of ignore it, but to be a fight sort of a person and to hang around and look at the evidence for our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.